This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dolphin Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. And coming up at 5:30, we go around the NFL. Wild, wild day of NFL action. Started very early in the morning in London. It finished very late at night in Pittsburgh. We'll run through all of the games at 5:30. But right now, it is time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
It's just in.
Not My Beat.
Except Michael Phillips wasn't there. Were you, Michael?
No,
were
sir.
You, Michael?
No, sir. Not at all. I'll be there this Sunday, though. Wouldn't miss that one.
Yeah, I would. I missed the credential deadline, and it's just generally easier to not have to drive to and from Baltimore. So I'm gonna watch that one from home. But you,
we'll trade out
for a home game after one. This is only the second home game this year. You abandoned me, not for anybody. You abandoned me for Linnell.
This is wild because, as you see, I live in Richmond, and so on game days I commute up to D.C. It's not a pleasant commute, but I do it because I love football and I love my job. I still commuted all the way to D.C. I just didn't actually go to the football stadium, so it was a little weird.
Yeah, people did get to hear your opinions during the game yesterday and during the pregame show. We had great fun with Linnell. In fact, Anthony, that actually reminds me. There was a couple of funny moments. I joined Michael and Linnell on the pregame show, and Linnell made a couple of bad analogies. Michael had some reference to something happening in England, and I made a couple good jokes, and I think that we should review those later in the show.
Say no more.
All right. So that now that that's been marked, you can just pull that from yesterday. You might have to go in the 106.7. I don't know if we were still on 980 at that point. The point is, Michael, you did get to watch the game in studio. You were on the Linnell roller coaster ride. So as you started the show today, though, what's the big takeaway for you yesterday on another day, second in a row, where there's plenty of good things to say on both sides of the ball?
Craig, I am ready to get hurt again. I'm in. I'm all in with these guys. I'm ready. And I think this is for real. And you know, the last two we've had, right, the two graphics they keep showing, Lamar has, you know, not Lamar, I'm already onto this weekend. Jaden has the best number since RG3. The team has its best record since Jim Zorn. And gosh, both of those ended as flaming disasters. I believe this one is different. I really do. And I believe this one's more sustainable. I love that Jaden learned and grew as the game went on. I love that he didn't take big hits. I loved everything about this scheme. I love the way the defense came to play. Call me crazy. I'm ready to get hurt again. I think this one's for real.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I don't know whether that, like, will there be some pain at some point this year? Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes, of course.
Right, like, they're not going to run the table and score 30 every week and give up in the teens. Like, that is a pipe dream. But long-term, are they on the right path? Like, I don't even know what other, I mean, unless Peters just botches the next two draft classes or something, like, they are on such a good path. And I think the thing that I am really starting to appreciate as he gets better and better week over week is just how much cushion Jaden puts underneath the entire football team with what he's able to do week to week.
And look, Deshaun Watson was so bad. We could talk about that if you want to. They're so screwed. But that defense is legitimately good, Craig, and that defense came out with a plan to bother him, to get to him, sacked him on the first drive, intercepted him in the first quarter. It was working. He goes back to the sideline. He processes it. He comes back and says, okay, I can beat this. And he could. He did beat it, right? Like, that's not a rookie. That is veteran-level stuff right there. To see what they're throwing at you, see what's working, in the span of like 30 actual minutes, not football minutes.
Right. He just figured it out. And like, I actually wrote down in my notes, I was like, the first, they were actually up 7-0, I think, 7-3, 7-0 at the end of the first quarter, or into the second when this drive happens, because they had gotten the 4th-and-1 stop. They score on a short field, but I don't feel like he had actually figured it out yet. And then he misses Terry deep, and then he misses Zach deep out of the shadow of his own end zone. And it's like, yeah, he missed him, but those were the right throws, and those were good play calls, and that was wide open. And I was like, the Browns are in trouble, trouble, trouble. And sure enough, they cooked them in the second quarter. But also the other thing, Michael, I think when you start to watch it back that you realize, I don't know if this is something you could appreciate watching it on TV in real time, is there's just certain things he can do that you can't, like, you can't have that in the playbook with other guys. Like, you can't just naked boot and be like, we'll leave Za'Darius Smith unblocked. That's fine. Our quarterback will roll out and find a guy in a tight window and just zing one into Terry McLaurin, and we don't have to worry about blocking the defensive end. So there's just stuff they can do with him, and then the running ability that just saves drives, that puts such a cushion and floor underneath you that you are able to, it kind of gives you the time to figure everything else out.
Yeah, that's a very great way to put it there. He makes the rest of the team, gives the rest of the team a margin for error. He gives the rest of the team the ability to adapt, to adjust whatever it is they need to do in that moment. And that's huge, right? That's how you put yourself in position to win football games. And they didn't need a late drive in this one, but when they needed a late drive, he's been clutch, right? If you're the defense, even if you're down 7 late, you say, all right, get this stop. He's going to get it figured out. We're going to win the football game on the other way. That's what you need going into a game against a team like Baltimore, right? I do expect Baltimore's going to score a lot of points this week. You need that cushion. We say, okay, we can make a mistake here. Number 5 is going to make up for it for us. Like, how huge is that? And then you mentioned, you know, being at the stadium. I'd love to get your thoughts on what it meant to have a largely pro Commanders crowd, not a lot of visiting fans, have everybody leave with a good experience. I think those are the things that really define franchises and fan bases and help you create what you're trying to create here in a very big picture sense.
So I will answer your question on some level with a question here, because you're the perfect person to have this exchange with. Michael, when you leave the press box after a Commanders game, as we head down to the locker room, what does that sound like?
Yeah, you walk it. You're in the concourse, and
right. You're in the press box. It's typically like there's kind of like a sullen silence because they just got their asses kicked. That's been the experience the last couple of years, right? You open the doors to the press box. What is the wave of sound that hits you?
Usually, the visiting team's fans doing their chant.
Right, and so it's not that loud, but there's a definite, like, off in the distance, big go big blue, go whatever chant, right? And so, in my mind, like, that association is there. You open the door to silence or the opposing fans razzing Commanders fans. I opened the door yesterday, Michael, to leave the press box to go downstairs, and was just smashed in the face by happy people noises. And I was like, whoa, that can happen here. And it was jarring in the best way. Like, I truly mean this, Michael. Like, I was unprepared to open the press box door and hear people cheering, because I'm just so conditioned that, like, oh, I'm going to walk out, I'm going to go downstairs, I'm going to do my job. And people were so excited after a game, and fans are like beating on the side of the escalator, making noise, hooting, hollering. And so, yeah, it was like, would I say, like, during the game, there was this huge, like, oh my God, overwhelming crowd. Definitely, like, you felt it as Watson and that offense continued to sputter. People were loud when the defense was on the field. People explode on the Diami touchdown. So, like, there, it was definitively a Commanders home crowd, but I wouldn't describe it as, like, raucous, wild, out of control in the way that I think if they go compete against Baltimore and beat a couple other teams later this month, that we're going to be, you know, looking at in terms of a home crowd in November and December if this team's in contention.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what it'd be like if they beat Baltimore, right, and then come home. We all see what the schedule is on the other side of Baltimore. If they find a way to do that, this town's going to go crazy, and rightfully so, right? I mean, I said on my show today, I think this is a playoff football team. I really do. I think you have to expect them to make the playoffs the way they're playing right now. If you beat Baltimore, my goodness, that just goes through the roof. That's absolutely a playoff team at that point. And then, you know, to the happiness you mentioned, like, there's a full lost generation here of people who are not Commanders fans because they grew up in some of the bleakest years of football any city in America has seen, you know, a very bleak stretch. Part of Josh Harris's job is fan acquisition. It's not fan retention. It's fan acquisition. You acquire fans with superstars and fun experiences. Right now, they got both.
No doubt about it.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Michael Phillips, 910 The Fan in Richmond with us, of course, on the beat for so many years for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, still covering the games, except for when he decides to fill in for Denton, who actually was at the game on Sunday here on the Team 980. Member of the Odyssey family, of course, you can listen to his show 10 a.m. to noon on the free Odyssey app. Just search 910 The Fan. And Michael, I would actually ask you this question because I was trying to think about this earlier. I was on a podcast today and got asked this. Like, what's the best crowd? Actually, I think I was on AWOD's show. And he asked me this. I did a lot of stuff today. Long day, Michael, but we're here. What's the best crowd since 2012 that you can think of at FedEx, now Northwest Stadium?
Yeah, in terms of result, I'd have to dig really deep on that one because it is, right, it's the 2012 game against Dallas to play into the playoffs. That's number one in recent memory. Everybody knows that. And honestly, in terms of hype and buzz, number two is probably the Monday night opener the next season, the all-in for week one game, before the air got fully taken out of the room. That was a juiced-up crowd. They probably the playoff game against the Packers, but that was half Packers fans. I don't know that there were a ton of, there's the play-in game against the Giants where all they needed to do was beat the Giants and make the playoffs. There's a great atmosphere that night. They didn't win. There's a game against the Giants with Heinicke where it felt like they were about to turn the corner. They didn't. I'm remembering a lot of pregame good crowds. I'm not remembering a lot of postgame good crowds. There were big wins, like the Sunday night football win over the Packers was a great win. Do you like that game where you come back from 24 against Tampa? But those crowds weren't lathered up in the way, that a crowd expecting a good thing is.
Right, right. And that's kind of what I was getting at is, like, what are even in contention for what it should be, barring them getting their doors blown off in Baltimore? And again, knock on all the wood that doesn't happen. But, like, what are we looking at in a couple of weeks, potentially? And especially Carolina, that fan base is not going to travel. Chicago, that one could be interesting. But, like, to me, the Packers playoff game for sure. Like, that crowd was juiced up and ready to go, and then it went sideways when Deshaun fumbled down near the end zone. And obviously, there were a lot of Packers fans, but that was a very good Washington crowd that day. There was a Monday night game against Dallas, I think, that year. Maybe it was a couple years later. Maybe it was 2017. Also a memorable Deshaun Jackson whoopsie, the one where he fumbled the punt late.
Yes,
I don't mean to be picking on Deshaun here. It just happened. Those are the two games that kind of come to mind. I do remember, obviously the winning in Giants game. Like, I remember being like, dang, the crowd was ready and the team was not. But overall, like, I think this is kind of the point, right? So I've been here since 2015, and that's three games that I can think of that I'm like, oh, that was a great home crowd. And so outside of then the Arizona opener last year, the first game of the Josh Harris era, which was from, I wasn't there, but I was told it was pretty good, but like different kind of good. I think we are headed for a legitimate new era here. And it's great that, I think Josh Harris and them were already investing in the stadium. But imagine this is just going to push them, be like, dang, our fans are going to be here. Like, we got to make sure they have a good time. And hopefully it just continues to push everything in the right direction in all the ways that you started to touch on there.
Yeah, and it's going to take all year, right? I mean, they're definitely, you're going to slowly win people back over the course of the year. Winning on Monday night against Cincy was huge because a lot of casual fans saw that and a lot of people who've fallen off the bandwagon saw that. But I think also, and, look, it's a day to be enormously happy, and it's a day to be enormously happy about everything. There are still questions about the defense, but I think that what you saw yesterday was a defense that got better. It has gotten better over the last three games. Certainly Frankie Luvu is on that trajectory, right, where he's gotten better every game. Mikey Sandra still has gotten better every game. And you mentioned the drafts, and obviously we trust Adam Peters with those. Think about the pile of free agency money they've got to spend this year. That's equally huge. And what games like this do, what fan bases like this do, is they make it easier to get free agents, right? Like, hey, I'm Adam Peters. I have a pile full of money. Come play football for me. Okay, that is a compelling pitch. Like, you're going to get some guys. Hey, I'm Adam Peters. I have a pile full of money. Come play with Jaden Daniels. Like, right. That's an even better pitch.
Right, 100%. Like, the fact that they got him in year one is going to accelerate everything else they wanted to do because guys are going to want to come and play here. I'm glad you mentioned Sanders still. I wanted to talk about a couple of other guys here. You mentioned Luvu as well, but what's been your impression of Sanders still and how he's been able to adapt to outside corner and what that means for this team moving forward, the Emmanuel Forbes of it all, the Mike Sanders still of it all, the defensive backfield of it all?
Yeah, he's a rookie who started in one position, I think it's fair to say, ended up in another position. That's tough to do as a rookie. He seems to have the intelligence, the football IQ, to pull it off and pull it off well. I don't think anybody's talking about Pro Bowls or anything like that, but what you're talking about is finding a guy who's a piece of the future. And I think once you go outside and succeed, you don't come back inside, generally speaking, as a rule. So I think he's probably there to stay until further notice, and that helps take the pressure off of everybody else because we all saw what a glaring weakness that was. I mean, I think I was on this show a couple weeks ago saying, look, I think Noah Igbinoghene might be the best you've got, and you've just got to make peace with that. I think this is a better solution, Craig.
Yeah, no, well, that's the thing. It's like Noah is actually, at this point in their career, seemingly a better nickel corner than Sanders still is. And so if Sanders still is your best outside corner, not named Benjamin St. Juice, and Igbinoghene is your best inside corner, period, this is a more than workable solution. This would be, based off their current roster, an optimal solution. Imagine that, Michael. Optimal solutions for the Burgundy and Gold.
Incredible. I don't even know what to do with myself, Craig. It's such a happy time. It's incredible. And we've all seen fan bases go through this, and we've all known, people who are in this, and for it to happen here now, it's incredible.
It is. There's a part of me that says, do we then just end the interview here? Like, do we keep talking about good things for Washington, or do we end the interview by going, hey, Cleveland, your situation looks familiar. Thank God it's not us anymore. Which one would you like to do? More good Washington, or would you like to take your pot shots at Cleveland?
Hey, we can knock it out quickly because, I mean, look, these guys talked about getting Deshaun Watson. These guys talked about signing Russell Wilson. When you need a quarterback, you're desperate. We're on the other side now, and everything is better and brighter because of that. But I'd open it up to a little running backs talk. I feel like Anthony Lynn isn't getting the love he deserves, because he's doing a great job with those guys. And, man, Austin Eckler, every time he touches the ball, he gets 15 yards, but he can't get more touches because also B-Rob is a beast right now. And also your third-string running back is probably a guy who could start on some NFL teams right now. They got going at that position.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing with McNichols. Michael, he hasn't played a snap until this season, until 2021. What? Was he hurt the entire time? I don't think he was hurt the entire time. How is that dude not on the field? And I guess it also, if we want to answer the rhetorical question, it's why running backs aren't getting paid, right? There's Jeremy McNichols out there just waiting to be awesome behind the right line and the right scheme and they're the right or with the right group of people. And because of that, why would you pay anybody big money when he can come in and average 5.8 a carry and run people over and be an A-plus pass blocker on third down? But also, how the hell was Jeremy McNichols not on someone's roster active on game day since 2021 when he's playing like this?
This is why we love football and love talking football, Craig, right? You can unwind this all day and you say, if he were somewhere else, would he be able to have the success? If you dropped another running back into the system, would he be able to have success, right? The Alfred Morris year here with Mike Shanahan in the zone rushing, and also that year was the year Robert was going crazy, so everybody had to account for him. It's such a team game. And that's what you love about days like yesterday, when you demolish the other team like that. It's not just wow, Jaden Daniels was good, but everybody else gets better across the board and everybody else feels good about themselves. And, you know, that's the Super Bowl tax, right? You know, Bill Parcells talked about, and you know, Bill Walsh, you know, those guys, right? You win the Super Bowl, everybody looks better than they actually are, so everybody ends up leaving because you don't have the salary cap to keep everybody. That's a long ways away, Craig, but that certainly, that effect is what you saw yesterday, where when the team's playing well, everybody looks better than they look individually.
That's true, but also you see what happens in Kansas City, and guys just come in and they all of a sudden are better. Like Juju Smith-Schuster leaves Kansas City, not that effective anywhere else. Eventually Kansas City is like, hey, you want to come back? And he's like, sure, I was good for you. And now he's a big part of what they do, and we'll see obviously what they do tonight. But it's why, it's one, Andy Reid's good at putting guys in good positions, and also Patrick Mahomes makes a lot of stuff right. And that is a huge part of the success in this league. You can pay the tax when you have Brady, when you have Mahomes. And, you know, it's very early to say that they've got that in Jaden. But if he keeps playing like this, they sure do. Nevertheless, if he continues to get better. And also, Michael, I don't know how closely you read the game notes, so I will end with trivia for you. Michael,
I'm ready.
Michael Phillips, man who has covered this football team for a long time. You know, very, very good on the history of the Washington organization. We know the rich history of running the football, the offensive linemen, the running backs that have played for this organization. The Commanders have now rushed for 3 touchdowns in 3 straight games. Michael, when was the last time that happened for Washington?
I don't know the answer. I'll certainly guess Riggo.
The answer, Michael, is never.
I love it. I
never.
Love it. They,
the
love
franchise it. With Riggo and the Hogs is setting new rushing marks. Just
I love
fantastic.
I love it so much.
Here's one that you might actually know. Do you know how many times in Washington franchise history a quarterback has run for over 100 yards in a game?
Yeah, Dane still hasn't. It's just Robert.
Yep, that is correct. It's just Robert, the Minnesota game. That's the only one. But that very much feels like a yet. But we'll see. We'll see when that yet becomes unyetted, if you will. Michael Phillips, everybody. Listen to him. 10 a.m. to noon, 9:10 The Fan down in Richmond. Thank you as always, sir, and we will talk to you next week.
Catch you next time.
All right, it's Michael and trivia questions and fun facts and all that kind of stuff. Coming up next, we go around the NFL. Anthony, are you ready? You did send in your picks on Friday. Are you ready to see how you/we did and talk about an absolutely bananas day of football?
I'm very excited.
Let's do it. That's next on the Team 980.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.